In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. It is St. Augustine who preaches to us this morning in the night office of the church at Matins for this gospel, and he puts to us the question which may be on your minds. We think about this episode, and of course, we all identify with the just anger of our Lord as the zeal for his Father's house consumes him in fulfillment of the psalm. And he cries out, "Make not my Father's house a house of traffic." St. Augustine asks, why does he in fact do this? For the selling of sacrificial animals was not something forbidden. The money changers were involved in what was, it seemed, a legitimate business, that of selling the animals that were going to be offered in sacrifice. After all, we know that this is what was done when our Lord was presented in the temple 30 years earlier. Mary and Joseph did indeed purchase animals to be offered as a sacrifice when our Lord was presented. What our Lord objects to is that it is being done as a business for profit. Another detail is added by some exegetes, which is that this money changing and the sale of animals took place outside of the temple in a certain respect, but nevertheless inside the temple, because it was held in the court of the Gentiles, making it thus impossible for Gentiles to come and worship. There was a part of Solomon's temple which was reserved for the Gentiles, so too with the temple that was rebuilt. Peoples of other nations could come and pray in the temple of the true religion. They could not enter the inner part along with those who were of the chosen people, but they could truly come and pray to the one true God. They were welcome to do so. This, however, was impossible if the court of the Gentiles had become a place of business. The Jews of our Lord's time seemed to have completely neglected the idea of having Gentiles come to pray in the temple. It was to them of little importance, but to our Lord it was of supreme importance, for he had come to welcome all nations now into the true religion, the Old Testament of which was about to be fulfilled and the New Testament inaugurated. This, it seems, would be the reading which Holy Mother Church wishes us to have of the gospel today when we compare it to the passage of the Old Testament which is read today at Mass. It might not be apparent to you at first, but this passage, which speaks of the wisdom of Solomon, is meant to be read as a prefiguration of the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the coming of the New. It is of no small importance in that passage, and this is why it was chosen for this Mass, that before wise Solomon come two women of ill repute, as the scripture tells us. And they are striving, it says, over one living child. Both gave birth. One child died during the night because the woman rolled over on him. And according to one, her child was taken away from the other whose child had died, and she was now claiming it for her own. They wanted King Solomon then to decide the case. This represents, in fact, the two testaments. And when it speaks of both of them as women of sin, it is to make clear that each is sinful in its own way. Yes, the Gentiles have been sinful. They have been completely unfaithful to the Lord. But the Jewish nation has been so as well. It has, in fact, been worse for them, for they have the true religion revealed to them. And yet they betrayed. They committed adultery, which is always in the Old Testament seen as a synonym for idolatry, and left behind their espousals to the true God in order to hold up for themselves false gods and to unite themselves with idols. Both then stand now before the Prince of Peace, for that is what the name Solomon means, in order to demand judgment. What comes then is the wise judgment of Solomon in commanding a sword to be brought forth, and then ordering that the child simply be cut in two, divided up, one half given to each mother. The woman whose child it truly was, who represents the Gentile nations, then cries out and says, "No, please don't hurt the child. Let the other mother have him." The other mother, however, represents the Jewish people because in her resentment, she does not want the Gentile nations to have any part of the true religion, any part of the inheritance of the Lord, and therefore declares, "No, better that the child be cut in half than that I be forced to give up any of it to that other woman." This wisdom of Solomon, and who is by his very name, is a prefiguration of our Lord, the true Prince of Peace, foretells then what will take place in the Temple of Solomon, or rather its successor, the temple rebuilt now, the Temple of Herod. For we only heard a few days ago in the prophecy of Jeremiah that the Jews, if they did not repent, would lose their Temple of Solomon because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord. They did not heed the warning of Jeremiah, and so the Temple of Solomon was destroyed, and the Hebrew people sent into captivity in Babylon. They returned, and then one day, finally, the temple was completed. But now, our Lord, by casting out the money changers and declaring that it has now become a house of traffic, which makes it impossible for any other nations ever to enter the true religion, declares that, in fact, this temple is passing away. The true temple is the temple of our Lord's body. It is that temple of which he speaks in saying, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The body of Christ, whose members we are by baptism, is the true temple of the new and eternal covenant, the true religion. He is priest, he is victim, he is the one true sacrifice, and he is even the temple of the New Testament. For we have already been told by the prophet Malachias that no longer will sacrifice be offered only in Jerusalem, but from the rising of the sun until the setting thereof, the true sacrifice shall be offered in every nation, this one clean oblation offered to the name of the Lord. This is the temple which, after having been torn down and raised up again in 3 days, will bring to a close the Old Testament, for 40 years after the crucifixion, that temple will be destroyed, never to be rebuilt again. And with it goes the priesthood of the Old Testament, and the one true priesthood of Jesus Christ endures now until the end of time.